All right, people of Payne County and the world, welcome to another episode without Father Brian O'Brien. I don't know how long I'm going to say that for. Maybe this is like where I draw the line. Rob, after this, if I say, this is another episode of Pastors of Payne without Father O'Brien, judo chop me right in the Adam's apple.
I guess we should change the podcast name for a couple weeks.
Just, and you're not allowed to talk yet. I haven't interviewed.
Just Pastor of Payne.
Yeah. Well, we came up with a couple. We threw out some name ideas without the O'Brien show.
Oh.
And then they all fell on deaf ears. cricket. But no, when the new priest gets here, we're just going to, whenever that guy shows up, I don't know when that's going to happen. But anyway, welcome to the Pastors of Payne show. You're catching this after Sunday Mass or on Thursday when we drop it, or on Pete FM or on whatever you find podcasts. Hope you enjoyed last week with Ms. Hannah. It was the title of this show was
Mrs. Hannah.
Mrs. S, thank you for correcting me. Was Father Carey and two surprise guests. Hopefully you figured out one of the surprise guests was in the womb. He or she can't talk yet. So it was a little awkward when I started asking he or she questions and she didn't respond, or he didn't respond. I was like, what? Your kid doesn't want to talk yet? And luckily, yeah. And your son doesn't even know how to talk yet. You're a dad. What?
He babbles.
He babbles. Grayson, he's got like 9 teeth now.
He's got a few. I haven't counted. You know, yeah. It would be tough to count without him biting you.
So. I mean, he does stand there with his mouth open, just periodically like staring at people.
Yeah, it'd be hard to see all the way in though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a year and a half. He's happy most of the time. And those times are very fun.
Yeah. And you're having another kid, too.
That's correct.
I heard you're naming him Carlos. Is that true?
No.
Is it close?
No.
Lucas. So it's Lucas. Yeah. See, I knew it was like there were some sharp sounds in there, yep. And some
Lucas,
R's.
Lucas, undetermined S's. Middle name.
Furley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so 2 weeks in a row. I mean, wait, Clay, how old are you? You're 29, 28, 27,
yep.
26.
27.
You're 27, and your wife is how old?
She is 25.
Oh.
Right now.
And you all met at the old St. John. I remember you all stalking each other. No, it was on the way back from Seek. No, or was that Adam and Jordan?
Well, we were dating before Seek.
Seek in
2019.
Yes.
2019 Indianapolis.
That Seek. Was right.
So we went on our first date the day we got on the bus to go to Seek. And so our date was really like 6 days. Our first date was like 6 days. I got sick.
Oh, that
we
is.
We like rolled in. I was I didn't have a car in college, so driving Jordan, previously Stavro, now Ross's car, because she graciously let me borrow it.
For a date,
because Kayla drove up to Stillwater. For Seek.
From Dallas,
where she's from, coming back from Christmas break, and her car broke down.
Oh, no. So, yeah. The black Maxima broke?
No, it was the one before. It's called Nugget. It was a two-door.
I do remember.
Nissan Altima, white is white. Yeah.
The Nugget. Yeah. I love it. The girls nickname their cars.
Hey, like, don't act like guys don't do that with their trucks either.
I don't. My truck.
Not you.
My trucks have never had a.
I don't keep them around long enough to name.
I don't. I put too many miles on them and I have to trade them in. Okay, Clay, a little backstory. So Clay Furley is our director of campus ministry here at St. John. And him and I were bouncing around ideas of what we wanted to do on this show today, because he's going to be the interim host. You know, you just found that out.
Great. Perfect.
Until the new pastor shows up in Payne County, the other guy. Anyway, okay, so we were
also, people don't know, so Father Carey's my boss, so I do whatever he says. I just found out I'm the interim host. I'm the interim host.
No. You don't. He doesn't do everything I say. This is why I tell my staff. I say, like, I have a Googleplex of ideas. I mean, I just have like ideas and I hand them off to you and I say, does this fit into the mission? And I let them chop things to pieces, cut things up. And like, yeah, like we sat down over lunch at Boomerang and threw out some ideas and we're like, okay, this is great. This is great. It was like, no, that's not, you know, Brett and I did that same thing over.
Can I tell you something? No, right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
So next year for Easter Vigil.
Oh.
Just one start time and we just stick to it. Just one. Because we told people like three. I think that was too much.
Oh, 8 o'clock fire. 8:30 vigil starts.
Sure, we could say that, but well, that's not what we said this year.
One year the Easter vigil, it was like super super dark at like a half hour before the vigil was supposed to start because of cloud cover.
Mm-hmm.
It was already dark, and so we waited like almost 30 minutes to start
in the dark.
In the dark, standing out there, I was like waiting for the time to show up. So anyway. Okay, so this is what, so Clay and I are bouncing around ideas. And you came, what'd you study here at OSU?
It's a great question. I got a bachelor's in university studies. So if you don't know what that is, it's OSU. It's basically like graduating undecided.
So but you studied what? What was your first undergrad?
My first major, which I changed out of way too late. Which was fire protection, safety technology.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For those that knew, like Rob Agnew, he's a professor in that. And then I changed to forestry. I liked studying forestry. I just didn't want to work in forestry, which I'm realizing is more common than I realized. But then I bachelor's of university studies is for those people like me who have a lot of credits that I run out of money and need a bachelor. So that's what I did. So I have a bachelor's in arts and sciences.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. But you've also been working on like a master's degree in theology.
Well, yeah. So I've taken some classes. Actually, it was a bachelor's.
Okay.
So it's like the Pastoral Center and Archdiocese of Oklahoma City across the border.
Boo.
has a program where you can get another bachelor's.
Okay.
If you already have a bachelor's like me in theology. So I've taken some of those classes and they're really affordable, so which is really nice.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And why'd you decide to do that?
Well, I work in the realm of ministry and theology. Last year I was a high school theology teacher at Cristo Rey Catholic Student Center.
Tell me
Oklahoma
how much you
City.
Love that place.
I really enjoyed teaching.
The kids loved you when we went back. They were like, Mr. Furley. I was like, this guy's a rock star around here.
Yeah. It was really funny. The student that graduated from Cristo Rey that came to OSU and she was upstairs in the thinking quad. We're at St. John, by the way, recording this podcast. And Sam Auerbach introduced himself to her, as he does. He's very social and great student. And he asked, like, do you know anyone around here? And he said, and she said, her name's Dee Dee. And it's like, yeah, I know Mr. Furley. And he started laughing. He's like, Mr. Furley? You mean Clay? Yeah, so different transition.
I think Mr. Furley was on the Three's Company. He was like the next door neighbor.
Yeah, but spelled differently.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, so you're getting a bachelor's degree in theology and you're studying it because of Cristo Rey and then working.
Yeah, it's just the career field I found myself in.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, so you got that because, okay, A, it's for your career. Now, why would... You're doing this for other reasons too. I mean, it's not just like
to
gain a bunch of knowledge.
No. Well, knowledge is nice, you know, especially learning truth. My main vocation in my life is to know and to love God. And first, it helps me do that. Learning theology helps me know God, which makes
sense
because theology is the study of God. And two, it helps with my secondary or primary vocation in another way, which is to be a husband and a father. And so my role, I mean, I got married, so And marriage is for the procreation and education of children. And I've been gracious enough to receive two children from God. And you know, I need to, it's my responsibility to teach them the faith and to teach them what I know about God in order to love him. And hopefully they will too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, it is the primary role of, it's not... Some people don't like it when I say this, but it's, I'm like, it's not my job and it's not the church's job to teach your kids the faith.
Yeah.
If people showed up, if I was the pastor of a parish and people showed up and say, my child is ready for first Holy Communion and they're 5 or 6 years old and ready to receive the sacrament of confirmation, I'd be like, okay, let's do this. I trust you parents that you've formed and shaped your kids to be holy and are prepared for the sacrament.
I think it needs to be that way. I noticed when teaching high school at Cristo Rey, it's not that the parents have to know everything, but they have to have a hand in the education. So I'm teaching theology, and what matters most is not how much they know, but how much are they willing to know. And if at home it, religion doesn't matter, nothing I say is going to matter. So it's like outside. So it's like what matters is the parents. The parents matter.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, tell us this. Just talk to us, because you're a man who, like Hannah last week, her husband wants to grow in holiness,
mm-hmm.
and that's your first and foremost vocation, is to love God with all your mind, heart, and soul.
Right.
And to then to be able to like live that out. So why is it important for dads out there, or even I'll say like guys in college, guys in their say late 20s, maybe, you know, husbands and / dads. I'm going to loop them all into the same umbrella. Mm-hmm. Why is it important for them to like be knowledgeable of God, grow in holiness, like catechize themselves?
Yeah, I think this has been referenced a lot in Catholic spheres, but the role of the father on their children's spiritual life, you know, it's, if the father is practicing, the kids are going to be more likely to be practicing when they're older. And I think clearly the ideal is have the mom and the dad practicing.
Yeah.
But special emphasis for some reason, as it bears out, over a large sample size, it seems the role of the father has a greater impact. And I think you see that in sociology as well. There's studies that see like how people perceive God is correlated to how they see their father. So like how they see their father correlates with their perception of God. So if like my dad, hypothetically, it's like absent and not there, I'm more likely to think like be agnostic or atheist, for example. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Because your dad,
you've heard that before.
Yeah, I've heard this before.
Yeah.
And your dad, I mean, you're Catholic.
I am.
And your mom is
not Catholic.
She's not even baptized, is she?
She's not. She's not Christian. She didn't grow up with anything. She grew up with a single mom. So working, and so she didn't have any siblings, any dad,
yeah,
any grandparents. So yeah, but my dad, and I think my dad grew up as pretty standard, well-meaning Catholic, as in not well catechized. So went to mass on Sundays.
Yeah, beautiful. He kept the Sabbath day,
which is great. Yeah. You know, he probably didn't know what holy days of obligation were. Except for Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
Well, Christmas is on Sundays, but, yeah. I think the like overarching data with like receiving, inheriting the faith of your father is, I think I'm evidence of that, and my siblings are as well. I think each of us kind of coming out of high school, each basically had what my father had. Imports of going mass on Sunday,
yep.
And we're Catholic.
And we're Catholic.
We don't know what that means all the time, but like we are that. And we go to Mass. That's important. And I don't want to be anything else besides Catholic.
I know. So. I think that's what I had from my parents. I mean, yeah. It's like I don't know how my parents were catechized or how their faith was formed. But I knew, like, we go to church on Sunday and we're Catholic, and I'm never going to be not anything but Catholic.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking to this now. Okay. The sacrament of confession, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. I never went to confession.
I want to go, but I don't know anything about it. I mean, maybe Catholic schools taught me.
It's scary.
Yeah. I mean, I used to pray the Stations of the Cross whenever we would have. It didn't matter. Just any way to get out of going to the sacrament of confession. Because I thought, like, the priest knows me and he's going to see me and he's going to think, like, he knows my sins. And then when I became a priest, I was like, what? I got
heard it a million times.
I've got more important things to do in life than think
Turns
about.
Turns out priests don't care.
I just want you to be holy.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, okay, so we're about halfway through the show. Now, what are some things that you could like transfer on to dads right now who are your age, you're 26, 27 years old?
27.
Okay, this is how great my
established earlier.
As previously stated, if you don't know Clay's age, you could go back to the beginning of the show and he says it twice.
Yeah. Now everyone will know.
Yeah. Now
repetition is the heart of learning.
That's right. That's right. Forgetfulness is the heart
unless
of
learning. Unless they hear this podcast a year from now. That'll be different.
Okay, where can dad start? So there has to be, we have to give our kids the faith. We have to hand it on to them.
Well, one thing that's, I think, important to emphasize is, if you get married and if you have children, like marriage, its primary end is the procreation and education of children. And what I mean by that education, it's not, that is a lifelong endeavor. Education isn't just math, right? It's like, or like how to make money and get good grades.
How to use utensils at the dinner table.
And making sure your kids get good grades. Like
pee within the ring of the toilet.
Right. You know, potty training them. Although it is that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is those things. But it's more than that. And I think it is to learn to know the love of God. So like my son is a year and a half, and he learns about the world through me, and not just through words, because words are pretty minimal right now, although he's more understanding more and more, but he watches, and he watches me, and he watches my mom.
Your wife.
Over. Actually, when we FaceTime my mom, he always says "oof oof," which is his word for dogs. like my dad thinks it's hilarious. So it's like
when he sees your mom, he goes "woof woof."
Yeah, every time. It's like she thinks it's funny too. But yeah, watches my wife as well, and like my son Grayson is. He's just always watching, and it's like that vocation of educating him has already begun, and I think that'll continue the rest of my life, ideally, and even when he's 18, that education doesn't end. It, you know, I'm always going to be showing him that next stage of life, and eventually, how to die.
What?
Yeah, And so the emphasis is not education as in like what you learn in school. The more important thing is it's education in virtue and how to live a Christian life. Yeah.
And I feel like Hannah said that last week. Did you listen to this podcast?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, Hannah said, I told her, I was like, give the people some wisdom at the end of this podcast. And she said, virtue, like start with virtue, grow in holiness. Do those things. And so you're saying that you're retweeting Hannah from last week.
I guess so. Well, it is it is the role of the parent is that part. So you're only going to procreate for so long. So you got to do the education part.
It's lifelong.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime of formation of teaching them through, right. Because I like what you, that was really cool. What you said is that they learn the world through you.
Yeah.
And it was a family psychologist article I was reading that was like that they learn things through their mom, like the nearness of their mom, mm-hmm. like in those first several months, and they learn the world outside of mom by watching dad, by seeing the dad in that family, and by having that relationship, then they learn about what goes on throughout, you know, outside the home too, just by nature. Your son has apparently learned, as I've seen him at wedding parties, to bully other children.
Well, he hasn't really learned too much.
I think Roman Ross is his number one victim. Like, he can see Roman Ross from across the room.
Last time they're hanging out, they're pretty civil, you know. They both do their own thing. They look at each other and confused, but yeah,
there was the swimming pool. There was
That wasn't the last time though.
There was the swimming pool. Then there was your son at the coffee table in the connector over here during the wedding,
and he didn't really have a big concept of other kids at that time. He just saw the toys that he wanted and took them.
Because he's got a bigger giant skull than everybody else.
Yeah, yes, he does. His head is in the 99th percentile.
Yes.
For that, I'm ever proud of.
Okay, now, give us some things. Like, where can dads, like, who are working full-time jobs, mm-hmm. like, how do they have the time to learn all this stuff? And what are some resources out there?
Well, I'd say the one of the biggest things is talking about resources and just to read in general. I think reading is like a lost art. People would rather watch a video essay or anything else, YouTube, to learn. But I think reading really teaches you how to think. And one of my favorite saints, Blessed Franz Jägerstätter.
Oh, it painted on the wall of the church.
Yes, yes.
I've told people countless stories about him.
he's amazing. And he had like a middle school education. But one of his quotes is like, those who don't read are like a ball being kicked around in the children's playground. So it's like they don't think for themselves. So they're getting kicked around from...
Whoa. You know,
passed around between the kids. And so like reading is, I think, you know, if you read good books, you know, it really teaches you how to think and think well.
Would you say that for Edgar Garcia?
Yeah. He reads fast though. I'm at his speed, I wouldn't be able to retain anything.
But he does retain a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah. He's brilliant. And follow the Catholic Book Review on Instagram.
Yeah, I just went to eighth
grade. Edgar
Garcia. Uh-huh. I went to eighth day bookstore in Wichita the other day, which is
it's amazing.
It's an amazing bookstore. The first floor is all theology and philosophy and art and really mm-hmm. good books and Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, and then you go up to the second floor and it's used
church
books.
History.
Uh huh. Icons, yeah. mm-hmm. basement is little kids' books. So if you're on a pilgrimage,
Hobbit hole.
Yeah, it is. If you're on there, if you're in Wichita, go to the Eighth Day Bookstore. Shout out to them.
Yeah, because they get a lot of plugs, I'm sure. Because I mean, it's just like, I don't know, something that cool just tends to advertise itself.
I bought a book on the three greatest prayers of the Eastern Catholic Church by Olivia Clement, who's one of my favorite authors.
The Jesus Prayer.
No. What? They were. I'll have to review it on another day. Okay, give us something else dads can do.
I would say this may be the most important thing uh-huh. I can think of. At least it's been most beneficial for me is learning what the heck goes on at Mass and Ooh. Learning to pray to Mass. Because, I don't know, I feel like most of my life I just went and watched and like that's it. And I feel like I mean, the mass is the objectively the highest form of prayer. It is the best form of prayer. Mm-hmm. And so to actually learn how to pray it is eternally beneficial,
yes,
I would say. And so, and I feel like that's like one of the big struggles with family is like, how do I deal with my kids at mass?
And because your son doesn't just sit still.
No, he does not. But there's going to come a time where, you know, he's going to learn what the mass is, and it's not going to be from his Sunday school teacher necessarily. He's going to learn how to be in mass from me. He just looked at the me first, mm-hmm, and Kayla, my wife. And yeah, and if I could hopefully pray well, because here's what I got from mass growing up. No offense to my dad, you know, this is like obviously very well intentioned, but he's like, so what'd you get out of the homily? Like that was it. And it's like you don't even need the homily in the mass, so it's like it's clearly not the most important part.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so it's like learning how to pray and partake in the sacrifice.
Yes.
And then
what would be some good resources for dads on the go? You know, like they don't have time to read right now, but they want to grow in their faith life. Okay. I would say like Scott Hahn's book on the sacrifice of the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, like, if you want to read and you want to read like 4 pages a day, that's a goodie.
Okay.
Father Mike Schmitz, Pray the Mass Like Never Before. You just pray the mass like never before.
That's what I was going to recommend.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like, it's just an hour, 45 minutes to an hour.
I tell people to watch it in 10 to 15 increments because you can only take 10 to 15 minutes of it. You're like, this is so rich and so delicious. Go.
Yeah. So, I would say that thing. And then one thing, so if there's other books on the mass, I'm sure they're out there. Ignatius Press always has good stuff. And then, let's see. Last recommendation, I would say, is to have good leisure with your family. And
That sounds like a topic.
Yeah, a little sneak preview. There's not enough time to get into it now. But I'll just leave you with this. It's like leisure is what we are for. And so and I think to really partake into that, especially with the family, can be one of the best things you can do.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. So dads out there, go in. I think it's like when you see a beautiful girl, you saw your wife and you say, I want to get to know her. Mm-hmm. And then you can go about that in different ways. You can start like stalking her and get a restraining order.
You would know about that.
Me? No, that's it. There is also, you could just ask her questions about her life. You could sit down and learn, and there's this endless supply of learning you can do about the other person, this beautiful girl you want to marry, Kayla Kuba. And you did.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's like, you're consistently every day learning something about her.
Mm-hmm.
And so for dads, it's, we should do that with our faith life.
Yeah.
Especially as you learn more about your faith life each day and your relationship with God.
I would say you can't teach what you don't know. So read, right? Learn to pray the mass. It's the most important thing you can do. And then finally, learn how to live in leisure.
Yeah.
Because, and tune in next week on How.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, you know what I thought about as I was just, is take the prayers, like the prayer of preparation and the prayer after receiving Holy Communion, and those, if you just want to take those and just add them to your prayer life Sunday at Mass, like little prayer of St. Thomas Aquinas, little prayer of St. Ambrose, little prayers right before and after you receive Holy Communion, those will help you in the intellectual life. Learn a lot more about our loving and saving God. Dang, that's in the end of it.
There it is.
Tune in next week without Father Brian O'Brien again.
But you weren't supposed to say that.
Blast. Have a beautiful day. Peace.